How many know Jesus is great?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Is He your treasure?
Yes.
Come on, I ask, is Jesus your treasure?
Yes.
Last week we talked about being treasure seekers, and I showed the picture of a handful of gold coins, if you can make it out there. And they were discovered about 12 to 15 feet off the Florida coast in only about 6 feet of water. And people spend their life, avocation and passion, searching for hidden treasure, and are treasure seekers. There's people who seek out in the water. There's people who seek on land. I'll tell you a couple of other stories this morning. But people are literally passionate for it. They prepare for it, and they give their focus and their energy to be treasure seekers. And my question for you this morning, for all of us, is, are you a treasure seeker for Jesus?
Amen.
Come on, I said, are you a treasure seeker for the richness of His presence and of His Word? Turn to Proverbs chapter 2, please. Proverbs chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I'll just tell you a bit of a story. Sherry and I have recently just watched a movie. Now, we're not here to recommend movies to you. Too often, if you recall, you may have recommended a movie to someone, and all of a sudden there's some section in that movie you forgot about. You go, oh, I'm horrified. But we just watched a movie called Woman of Gold, and it was with Helen Mirren. And it was all about the Nazis who stole the treasures and the artwork that belonged to the Jews in Europe during World War II. It's a true story, based on a true story. And Helen Mirren played the part of an Austrian. And her aunt had been pictured, drawn by a very famous painter. Kilmut, I believe, was his name. And that was a treasure to her family, but the Nazis stole it. And it was a story about the effort of Ryan Reynolds, who played a young attorney just starting out, she asked for help to see if they could restore the artwork to the family. And he started off doing it for the money, because he discovered the painting was now in the most famous Austrian gallery, being claimed as their own, a national treasure worth $100 million. And so he began to go after this for her with dollar signs in mind. But the Lord, you can only call it that, his parents had been Austrian as well. His great-grandfather, a world-famous composer, and all of that. And then something transformed inside of him as he began to pursue this treasure, if you will. And the story unfolds in very powerful ways. How do we live as treasure seekers? This is part two of that series. But how do we live? What do we do? And what makes a difference in our life? If you'll turn to Proverbs 2, I'm going to use those scriptures first. But how do we live as treasure seekers? Well, first of all, we have to get the passion. Say it with me, would you please? Get the passion. Turn to each other and say, get the passion. We've got to choose, and we do make choice, church, for what rules your heart and your life. Every one of you realizes that you're a choosing being, right? You make choice. Come on, someone say amen or oh no. You're a choosing being, and you choose what rules your heart and life. Treasure seekers set a purpose. We have set a purpose. Who and what is our passion? Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your heart to wisdom, reading from the New King James, and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. How many want to know more about the Lord? Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Over to the New Testament. Matthew 13, 44 to 46. Again, I'll read from the New King James on this, and I'll throw in a couple of other translations as we go this morning. The Message on a few of these makes it come alive so vividly. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells how much? Come on, just a little. You don't want to get too radical about this, right? Just a little. You know, he sold how much?
All.
He sold all that he has and buys that field. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold how much?
All.
Come on, how much?
All.
All that he had and bought it. Matthew 6, verse 33. Turn to it in your own Bibles, if you would, please, if you're referring up here. I've always put them up here as well, but if you'll turn in your own Bible, I would love for you to see this scripture in your own Bible. Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. Tell me when you're there.
There.
Good. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek... What was that?
First.
But seek.
First.
Are you all there?
Yeah.
But seek first. First. The kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things shall be added to you. Now, this weekend in Port Townsend is the boat festival, the wooden boat festival. I have met people absolutely passionate about their wooden boats. I was talking to a guy the other day. He says, I have had wooden boats for 45 years. Loves wooden boats. Comes to the festival. He came from Fiji to come be at the wooden boat festival. Now, that's a little passion, don't you think? And they call us crazy to come to church. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added to you. You know, the punctuation was added later. A lot of people say, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, just like I read it. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, two ways to read it. If you'll respond to the Lord in walking by grace in His righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus, not by works. But as we walk with Him, how many know we need to continue to become more like Him? We cooperate with Him and let His Spirit. But also, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, the Scripture tells us, if you'll seek Jesus, His righteousness and these things shall be added to you. Listen to it out of the New Living. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. He'll give you everything that you need. I want to tell you a simple phrase this morning, then I'm going to have you repeat it to each other. Here's your phrase. Fall in love with Jesus all over again. Say that to each other.
Fall in love with Jesus.
Fall in love with Jesus all over again. Surrender to Him as your first love. The book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 4. Luke 10 verse 27 declares, so He answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. There's a difference, church, between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. I lived in 28 places before I was 18. I went to church with my mother almost every one of those places we moved to. She was a preacher's kid. And I heard a lot of talk about Jesus. But my life radically changed when I met Jesus and surrendered to Jesus and fell in love with Jesus versus knowing about Jesus. Jesus can be someone culturally involving or someone to whom you've given your life. In our culture, a lot harder to find Him culturally involved. But people still do it. But the issue is not critical about that. But the issue is Jesus invites you, commands us, draws us, brings us to Himself out of just a cultural experience into a surrender to Him that radically changes your life. Amen. Are you radically changed here this morning? When I surrendered to Him, that's when I found out what He did for me, how I discovered His love. And Jesus changed everything. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's about walking with Him. Do you know this morning for sure that He lives inside of you? Is your heart burning for the Lord this morning? Do you have that fire burning inside? I remember rehearsing with my kids when they were little. You probably heard this story when Christopher has been here preaching, but I'd get my kids up. I was a yell leader in high school, so we could cheer with our megaphones. And I'd get my kids in a Pied Piper little line. We'd march around the house. What do you got burning inside? They yell out, fire! I got fire for the Lord burning inside. I'd march them through this. What do you got burning inside? I got fire! And I said, I can't hear you. I got fire! What do you got burning inside of you, church?
Fire!
Fire for the Lord. Surrender to Jesus and let Him burn. You see, Scripture tells us we are called to live prophetically for the Lord, not pathetically. Prophetically, not pathetically. And the only way to do that is to be all in. Are you all in for Jesus? Come on, Sherry, not just for the Seahawks. Are you all in for Jesus? Amen. Amen. There you go. She set her Seahawk color to the side this morning. He changed everything for me. I fell radically in love with Jesus because I discovered how radical was His love for me. If He's your everything, you can't help but show Him. Right? You can't help but show your face. Right? Catherine Booth. How many know the commander and the founder of Salvation Army?
Yes.
General William Booth. They were so hungry for Jesus, the story goes, Catherine Booth went from church to church to church on Sundays in her community and all around. And here's what she was looking for. Two words. Here's what it said she would tell people she was looking for. I'm looking and I'm listening for, the phrase was, burning words. Burning words where there's life, there's passion, there's vibrancy. There's the fire breathed from the Holy Spirit on the Word of God that says, He's alive and He's well. And do you want to surrender to Him and walk with Him? He is everything, church. Is He your everything this morning? Do you have the burning words of the Scripture and of Jesus living inside? The only way to have burning words is to have a burning heart. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart. What's in his heart? Treasure, one way or another. Treasure brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. It has to do with who your treasure is. Do you have burning words? Words that ring true. Conviction. Passion for Jesus, for His Word, for His people, for His church. Is it real? It's not enough to go passionless through life. Let's not be those. There's a lot of people who are like that, no matter what the issue might be. Let's not be those kind of people. Let's be people who are alive in Him. If you're not there this morning, I invite you, Jesus invites you, come surrender your life to Jesus and allow Him to be the burning fire within your soul so you know Him, His love, and where you're going to spend eternity. After someone has been with you and with me, let them say, Luke 24, verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road, while He opened the Scriptures to us? We're around here, we gather together on Wednesday nights and we open the Word of God and somebody's sharing and other people are in the room going, I didn't see that. Did you see that? Oh, that's cool. That's confirmation for what the Spirit told me. But there's a burning inside as our hearts glow with the ember of the fire of the Spirit. Look at the richness of that Word. How many love Jesus and His Word here this morning? The Bible's our text. The Bible's our life. We study it and we do our best to walk in it as best as we can. And again, church, that's why we have Grace Gathering. That's why we have Sunday morning. Because the Bible helps us as we walk together and learn how to do better. And if we offend one another, we ask forgiveness and we get better and we pray for each other. Because we're all learning, changing, and growing to be more like this wonderful Jesus. Coals burn hottest when coals are where? In a fire. Get the passion. Say it with me. Get the passion. Number two, prepare. Prepare. Matthew 6, verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Out of the Message, listen to this, I love it. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place where you will most want to be and end up being. If you want to be an effective treasure seeker, you have to prepare. It takes your decision to invest. It takes your decision, your time, your talents, your money, your resources if you're going to go get the gold. The same for Jesus. Why would we think it's any different? Saved by grace, and then we walk with Him daily to become like Him. Excuse me, in our thinking, our attitude, our actions. When you prepare, you are saying that He is worth the effort. Is Jesus worth the effort in your life?
Yes.
I'm here to tell you, I am convinced that the Lord is no longer doing business as usual. There came a time in Noah's day, after 100 years of building that ark, that the rains began, and life was no more business as usual. The Lord prepared an ark. Jesus is our ark. Jesus is the ark for salvation for the world. But who did He put inside that ark? A family. Who is He preparing to show Jesus for the earth? A family. A family that goes and demonstrates Him, how to walk with Him, how to talk like Him, how to live. And in those days, the Bible said, they were just living life as usual, marrying and bearing and selling and buying. There was no expectancy for anything different. Church, are you expecting something to happen? Are you expecting life to grow, to change? Are you expecting Jesus to come back any moment?
Yeah.
We talk about that. But, you know, I don't know. The Bible says, occupy till I come, do business till He comes. I know that. But there needs to be something burning in our heart. Lord, transform me. Keep working with me. I want to be ready to see You, Jesus. Some of us, you guys, were radically saved in the charismatic move. Radically saved. Our whole lives were transformed. Jesus changes completely. There was no place we wouldn't drive, no place we wouldn't go, no book we wouldn't buy, the latest thing that teachers were seeing and understanding, no teaching we didn't want to hear unless it wasn't in the Word of God. We changed our lives because Jesus changed us. Don't let the fire go out. For me, church wasn't a drudgery, wasn't a chore. Bible reading wasn't dead and boring. Of course we had, how many remember in those early charismatic days, you got a new version, remember? Good news for modern man.
Yeah.
And then Kenneth Taylor wrote The Living for his kids. Thank God. And then there's other versions and different things. Why? So that people could read the Word of God and understand it. And the Lord kept changing our life. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you a treasure seeker? Are you? Treasure seekers invest in the equipment. They invest in the equipment. You put your time, your energy, your resource into building your local church so it's strong. I don't pass a plate, you know that. We have offering boxes at the side. But they give, they contribute, they tithe off of the growth so the church can be strong. So there's resources and things to give away. Treasure seekers buy the latest technology. Some of you purchased metal detectors. They're getting more expensive and fancier all the time. Some major expeditions, you guys. You know, they figure there are 3 million sunken vessels out at sea. 3 million. And they figure only about 3,000 have riches beyond belief in terms of gold bullion. And they're finding it all the time. All the time. And some expeditions cost $5 million just to go out and search for it. It takes money. It takes time. It takes training. It takes preparation. And people will spend years studying church, history of shipwreck. They'll consult with the best investigators to find the treasure. And they do all that for treasure. Who's your treasure this morning?
Jesus.
Jesus. When you put in the investment by the grace of God, you receive the return. Because when you search for Jesus, you find Him. That's what the Bible says. If you seek Him, He will be found of you. So it's not going to be an empty expedition for us. We're going to go find Him. Do you have hungry hearts for the next move of God? 1902 to 1906, Azusa Street, there was a major outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Azusa Street in L.A. People came from around the earth, moved on by the Spirit of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift of speaking in tongues. The Pentecostal churches were birthed and spread around the earth. And indeed, sociologists and others will tell you, still the fastest growing churches in the world are the charismatic Pentecostal churches who give room to the Holy Spirit. Spirit to move. 1948, a major outpouring of the Holy Spirit. A little group of Bible school students in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, Canada, read the scriptures in the book of Acts, and they said, why can't this happen today? And they coveted it on themselves to begin to pray and seek His face, and the Holy Spirit moved on them. People from around the planet flew in to this little place in Canada, were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and not the Latter-day Saints, but the latter rain outpouring. He'll pour out the Spirit as in the beginning and the latter rain, the Bible says. There was a restoration of prophecy and restoration of the gifts of the Spirit, restoration of praise and worship. Healing evangelists were birthed at that time. Some of the greatest healing evangelists the world have ever known came out of that time. Following also in that move was a man named Billy Graham. Anybody thank God for Billy Graham? Fantastic evangelism. Probably, at least in our lifetimes, the world's greatest living evangelist that we've ever known. I'm just humbled and thank God. Sometimes I was thinking about him the other day. I just began to cry, thanking God that in my lifetime I had the opportunity to see and to receive His ministry. And it was just spread around the earth. 1967 on college campuses and also the Jesus movement down in California began to move, and the charismatic movement broke out. It didn't matter if you were a Lutheran, Catholic, Episcopalian. It didn't matter if you were Baptist, Pentecostal. It didn't matter. Walls came down. People fell in love with Jesus. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was flowing. The river of God was flowing. And people, they didn't put their denomination first. They put Jesus first. Somebody say, thank God. How many are ready for a new move of God? Because every move of God made sure, the Holy Spirit made sure that it was no longer business as usual. I want God to move. It's time for a fresh move of the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, move. Set up your sails. Let the Spirit of God blow in your life. Let Him move. Pastor Carl used to always say, get ready, stay ready, and grow. There are teenagers packing stadiums all across our country, crying out, fasting, praying, worshiping, seeking God, full of revival. I was radically saved in a revival in the north end of Seattle in my high school. Teenagers all over, powerfully moved on by the Holy Ghost. I want to be their leader. Well, I'd like to be among them. If they're the ones that usher in the new move, okay, I just want to be involved, Lord. Thank God. But it's time for a fresh move of God. Are you in the Word of God? Are you prepared? Are you responding to the Holy Spirit's prompting and leading and giving Him room? Because He'll keep growing us, changing us, and moving us. Passion, preparation, prepare. And number three, perform. Perform. Let me ask again. I know it's a lot of questions this morning, but are you ready? He's moving. He's leading, He's doing things, and if we'll move with Him, He'll give us little promptings now, little word in your ear. The Scripture says you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. You'll hear the Holy Spirit saying, you know, you need to go up to Penny and encourage her today. Every one of you should have followed that prompting, see, after service right now. Penny, we encourage you in the Lord. But if you hear something from the Lord, and maybe there's a burden He'll put on your heart for somebody who's a friend and fellow believer, whether here or not, somebody you love, and God says, I want you to speak this word. Or maybe He'll give you a word of knowledge where He gives you an insight as to somebody's life. Usually it's a healing thing. And He'll also give you, as you pray, the word of wisdom. Not just the word of knowledge, here's what the issue is, but the word of wisdom. Wisdom to be able to apply it in the right time. I'm not telling you to run into Walmart and start shouting in tongues and praying for everybody in the aisles. But I'm saying you can follow the prompting of the Spirit and go up and say, can I pray for you? Hey, you know, if you do that and they say no, what have you lost? A little embarrassment maybe? What have you lost? Most people, if you're sweet to them and offer them prayer, will greatly, gratefully receive it. If they don't, say, no problem, I'll just be praying for you. No problem. But what have we lost to get out of the boat to follow the prompting of the Spirit? You might just end up walking on the water. And watch what God does. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll even make a road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Listen to it from the Message. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over the old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. Whatever the sin was in the past, let it go. It's under the blood of Jesus. If it's not under the blood of Jesus, get it under the blood of Jesus and let it go. If you didn't obey, if you made a mistake, maybe you took a wrong turn at Albuquerque, it's okay. Let it go. Move on. It's time for a new day in the Lord. On second and fourth grace gatherings where we're going to do teaching, we're going to be doing teaching on the Holy Spirit. And we're going to give some Holy Spirit life labs so we can take time together to learn to listen and respond to the Holy Spirit. Anybody in this room think you can learn to hear the voice of the Lord even better? That's what it's all about. So we're going to be doing that on our second and fourth Wednesday nights. Choose your next steps of growth in Jesus. Let the fire burn. Let the treasure be Him. His Word and His Spirit. Keep preparing. Be in the Word of God. Encourage each other. And God will fan that flame. He'll blow on the fire inside. How many of you want to be about the Father's business?
Yes.
Come on, I said, how many of you want to be about the Father's business?
Yes.
Remember Jesus said when they came looking for Him, He said, did you not know I must be about my Father's business? You know, there's lots of treasures being found. $4.5 million last year found, and $300,000 for each coin with 19 gold coins found. How many ever heard anything about the Finn, F-E-N-N treasure? Anybody here about the Finn treasure? The Finn treasure. This is really pretty cool. There was a guy who had become very wealthy. He was in New Mexico, and he and his wife, after retiring from the Air Force, had a very successful business. And he got diagnosed with cancer, and so he thought he'd do something great. He'd put together thousands and thousands of dollars worth of diamonds and gold and emeralds and things in this treasure box. And inside the treasure box also, he included a copy of his autobiography. And he went far away and he buried this thing. And then in 2010, actually what happened was he was going to bury it and he was going to go out in the woods and die. Only he didn't die. He lived. And so in 2010, he went out and buried it and he wrote a book. And his book has all sorts of clues. And now there are even days set aside in the state of New Mexico called Finn searches, where people, 30,000 people at a time going out looking for these clues. And he's written about them in his book. And May 15th or May 18th this year, they say the treasure was worth as much as $2 million. And they're looking all around. Let me tell you a little story about Sean Carney. Okay, not the actor, not Connery, but Sean Carney. Sean Carney was 31 years old. He was a public relations executive in Philadelphia. He was inspired to treasure hunt after he saw a piece on this Finn treasure in the Today Show. And a few years ago, when that box was put aside with gold nuggets, rare coins, jewelry, and gemstones, said to be worth about $2 million, this guy decided he'd go searching. The thrill of the chase, he said, is what it was all about. He was an admirer of great explorers in history. He was literally mesmerized by finding Finn's stash. So he flies to Santa Fe in mid-April. He drives to a spot 3 hours away, and he begins treasure hunting. He didn't last long. An elderly couple who had been out treasure hunting walked up to him, found him on the path, and said, by the way, just about 15 minutes ago, we found and ran into some bear cubs. So you better be careful. Presumably, the mother is close by. So he dismissed the warning, about 15 minutes later, he comes and close to and hears all this growling, very loud growling with a mother's voice. And sometimes you mothers know what that's like when you protected your kids. And so Carney tells his own story on himself. He absolutely got away as quick as he could. He hid and he hyperventilated until the coast was clear. He waited a long time before he came out of hiding. You know, a good bear would have found him anyway. Bear must just not have been interested. He said the bear had gone off or simply died from laughter about me hyperventilating. And he decided he'd put a quick end to his treasure searching. He sprinted back down the trail, got in his rental car, and sped away. But he's got some afterthoughts about what he learned. He says of his misadventure, he says, you got to bring the right equipment. He said, I didn't bring anything. I brought along a backpack with some water bottles and Clif bars. He was not into this for the long haul, do you think? And he says as a tribute to Hollywood's most famous archaeologist, Carney also brought along a fedora and wore sneakers. He said, I look like Indiana Jones and his kids' soccer practice. They say Carney would have been better off with a metal detector, shovel, some extra clothes, rain gear, plenty more. He brought along his cell phone, but he says it didn't have any reception. He says my only functional purpose would have been to throw it at an animal. He says, whatever you do, if you're looking for treasure, whether buried by pirates or underwater elements or hidden by a multimillionaire, he advises people now, do your homework. Those adventure movies, they're only 2 hours long because that's how long movies are. That's not because that's how long it takes to find treasure. Do you have your treasure seeker's tool map? You've got your map? It's called the Bible. Do you have your compass? The Holy Spirit to guide the way to Him? You've got your protection. The Bible says in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God. Stand against the devil, the snakes, the scorpions that come to take you away. You've got to have the right boots and the right shoes. And you got to have the hat to keep the sun and the rain away. You got to have your coat to protect you from the elements. You've got to be clothed upon with the robes of righteousness, clean by the blood of Jesus. You got to have the right communication device and your radio, your phone, and you got to stay close to your team, somebody knowing where you are so they can be in prayer for you. How many thank God you got members of the family of God praying for you day by day? You got to have food and emergency preparations and an emergency first aid kit. How are you going to live as a treasure seeker? You got to get the passion. You got to prepare. And then by His grace, as He leads, as He teaches, as He prompts, we get to perform. That's how we live as treasure seekers. Will you stand with me, please? Musicians, will you come? I want to sing that song again, I Worship You, Lord, with all of my heart, because does He have, church, your whole heart and life? Is He your everything? Is He the one you love most? Come on, I'm asking questions, needing to hear your answers. Is He the one you love most?
Yes.
He loves you. If you're here this morning and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. Become His treasure seeker. If you already have surrendered to Him, then enjoy ever growing closer to Him, being more like Him. He loves you so much. We're glad you're here this morning. And we'll look forward to Wednesday night grace gathering together. Remember, as we close, if you have prayer burdens on your life, Alan and Shannon will meet with you over there at those chairs as we have prayer teams here to pray for you. We love you. Come on up. Take time to be with Him. To you, Lord Jesus, You're calling us deeper. You're calling us on. Lord, our prayer together is pour out Your Spirit unto a new day. And Lord, we want to be a part of what You're doing. Moved by Your Spirit. Jesus, You are our treasure. Your Word is our treasure. Your people is our treasure. And Lord, we ask You to richly bring forth the gold in and through us. We pray for our region, for our surrounding. Oh God, pour out Your Spirit. Pour out revival, Lord Jesus, we pray. and move in your spirit today, we pray, and we thank you for it. We give you the praise and the thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Would you raise your hands, please? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. God bless your people as they go forth from this place in the powerful name of Jesus. And they all said,
amen.
Thanks for coming. We pray you have a fantastic day in the Lord. Be back at this time next week right here. God bless.